Welcome back to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is Shelby.
And this is Emily.
Nice. I don't know what that was, but...
We're going to do kind of like a true crime episode.
Yes.
No sniffling.
A true... I have the perma sniff.
I don't want to take that out.
It's fine. They can hear my sniffle. A true vlogging crime episode.
True. We're both like influencers.
Vloggers.
Vlogger, true crime.
We're talking about Ruby Frankie and Gabby Petito.
Who we call Gabby Potato.
Gabby Potato.
So, anyways, yeah, we're just going to chat about these two cases. They both recently came out with some documentaries / docuseries.
They're both on Netflix, right? Or, I know the Gabby Potato one is.
Yes.
I'm going to be saying Gabby Potato.
And then the Ruby Frankie, I think it is on Netflix too.
Or Hulu. I don't remember.
Well, they released something on Hulu like right after Ruby and Jody got arrested. I never watched that one. I felt like it came out way too fast and it was probably rushed.
Devil in it? Devil in the Family.
Yeah, that's right.
It's on Hulu, actually.
Oh, it is Hulu?
Yeah. Why did Devil in the Family, Netflix? The Fall of Ruby Frankie.
Okay. Yep. So, it's kind of interesting how they released one immediately and then they released one recently.
Yeah.
But this one focuses mostly on Ruby Frankie and kind of tells the story. I thought it was interesting because it tells... the story a lot from Kevin. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Ruby's dad. Husband.
But for our listeners that haven't watched or don't want to watch.
Okay, sorry if you can hear Amanda's feet walking around my house.
Yeah. But for our listeners that haven't watched the documentary and you're like, I don't think I want to watch it before I stop listening to this. Emily's going to give a brief explanation.
Oh, great.
You're way better at that. For this.
Really, we aren't going to give a super detailed explanation or summary of what happened, so we'd recommend watching these documentaries. But Ruby Frankie was like a family vlogger from Utah. I know she lived in Springville for a while. And...
she has six kids.
Mm-hmm. Had a YouTube channel called Eight Passengers for a while. Jinx. And she ended up getting arrested, I want to say like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it might have been. Yeah, it was probably in 2022, I think.
For child abuse. So what happened between her vlogging and her getting arrested for child abuse? The documentary kind of covers that, but... it kind of started with her posting some questionable parenting advice on her YouTube channel. So a few incidents that happened were like she believed in accountability, but she took it way too far. So, for example, her like first grader or kindergartner, the youngest girl, I think, you know, forgot her lunch one day at school. And the teacher had called Ruby saying, hey, I don't know if you want to bring her some food. She's hungry. She doesn't have... lunch. And Ruby basically was like, I'm not gonna bring her anything. This is her chance to like learn from her mistake. Like, if she doesn't bring her lunch, she doesn't get lunch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, I understand that, but we're talking about a 7-year-old. Yeah. And you're gonna let your 7-year-old go hungry. So then people started kind of talking about her on other social media platforms and are like, whoa, this mommy vlogger is kind of crazy.
Just like way over the top.
Yeah.
With like her parenting style.
Right. And then they also, at one point, took away Chad's room for 7 months. He is the second oldest of the six kids. And
they wouldn't even let him sleep on the couch. He had to sleep on a beanbag.
Yes. So he had to sleep basically on the floor. He had just a beanbag to sleep on for 7 months. And, you know, people started talking about that incident as well. And are like, this mom is taking things way too far. And at this point, they were already... calling her crazy things like a child abuser and stuff. And at first when the stuff started coming out, I thought, okay, yeah, she's not a good mom, but I don't know if she's abusing her kids.
Yeah.
But things got way out of hand. She got involved with a lady called Jody Hildebrandt, who was a licensed therapist. At one point, her license got taken away, and then it got later reinstated. Now it's definitely taken away. I heard that from my sister-in-law, who actually had sessions with Jody. Because I asked her, I'm like, did you know that her license was revoked? Did you look her up before meeting with her? And she's like, well, she addressed it. Like, she would say, I don't remember, but essentially it was reinstated.
That's wild. I didn't know that.
It was taken away. Then she got her license back. So it's all a mess. So Jody Hildebrandt started kind of working together with Ruby. They started making, you know, more videos about parenting.
Uh-huh. And Jody started, like, connections, and then Ruby became a big part of that. And it's just, basically is like a cult.
It is definitely. Like, Jody
is a cult leader.
A cult. Yes, Jody's a cult leader. She took Ruby under her wing and basically started working together. Jody started brainwashing Ruby, her whole family. Things got taken way too far. At one point, the two youngest children went to live in Jody's house in St. George. And this is where things really got out of hand, where the police got involved because a neighbor called the police because the youngest son was found outside asking for help. He was severely malnourished. He was bound at his wrists and his ankles. He was asking for help. He was asking for food and water. And so this is when the police got involved. They found the youngest daughter in Jody's house in a closet, head-shaped, malnourished, terrified. So this is where they started their investigation.
Uh-huh.
And shortly after this, Jody and Ruby were both arrested. So that's the short story. That was very, very cliff notes.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about a few things more in depth
just
during,
like,
this episode.
Some things that we thought were interesting throughout the documentary.
Yeah.
And I also listened to Sherry Franke's book, The House of My Mother. And so there's a couple things that I want to mention from that as well, because that was a lot more of her point of view and just kind of a memoir of her life with Ruby, explaining about all of that. Did you think it was crazy how they would post their prayers on YouTube?
I have, like, a vague memory of that, but it's definitely is cringy.
That was, like, one of the first things that was on the documentary, and I'm like, that is just wild.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a sacred thing.
Yeah. It's weird to post that on the internet. Like, that's your conversation
with God.
With God. And I know there's different types of prayers and different religions pray privately, publicly, but it's a weird thing to post, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wonder, like, the church's stance on that, or if it's, like, just dependent on your bishop.
Yeah.
I wonder if their bishop had seen it and if they would have, like, said something.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I just feel like that's
kind of what I'm saying is, like, I don't think there's a specific rule or anything, because there's lots of different types of prayers. We're taught that we should pray privately in our heads.
Uh-huh.
The church teaches that there are prayers that should be said aloud, that
mm-hmm.
should be shared, group settings. There's even prayers that are broadcasted in general conference, on TV, and
that's
stuff like
true.
That. So I just think that's time and a place, but I don't think putting it on YouTube to make money is, like, a sacred way to go about praying.
Yeah. And it just seems a little bit self-righteous.
Yes,
too.
Definitely. Self-righteous, sacrilegious, whatever you want to call it. It's just weird vibes. I don't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a time and a place, and, like, posting it on YouTube for monetization is definitely not it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought that was kind of weird. Just a weird thing for content.
You want to talk about how much at one point they were making?
Yes.
Because what?
At one point she said that she was, or they were making $100,000 a month.
Yeah.
Like, what? That is wild. I didn't even know you could make that much from being a content creator.
YouTube, if you, like, that's, you know, how Mr. Beast started making a lot of money. Now he obviously has a bunch of businesses.
Yeah.
But he started his money on YouTube. If you have a lot of subscribers, YouTubers make so much money.
That is crazy.
So much.
Crazy.
We
need to start doing
that
YouTube more.
That was like the prime of
YouTube.
YouTube and I think 8 Passengers.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden people started shaming them and mm-hmm. then they dropped off real fast. It was like 100 to 0 and they started making, you know, very little money.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was talking about how like they started struggling financially. And I'm like, were you not putting away a lot of money? Because $100,000 a month.
I had the same
thought. That's a lot of money. Much money. Like a year I could live off of that. But if I was making that in a month, I'd be putting so much into savings. So I'm like, she should have had enough money saved up to live off of for like at least a year.
Yeah.
Minimum.
And
if not like 10 years.
They never mentioned this, but like I wonder if she had like savings for each kid, like for college and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because based off of like Sherry's book and just some things in the documentary, mm-hmm. it did not seem like it.
Right.
Like once they turn 18, they are on their own, which is wild.
Which I don't know if we want to talk about this now or later, but the new legislation that was just passed.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we've talked about this.
Like pay your child a certain amount if you're a content creator. I wanted to talk about
yes.
that. No, we should.
So Sherry, the oldest daughter, has been pushing for this new legislation to be passed. And I think it was successful in Utah. Just like as of a few days ago, I saw on the news.
Oh, that's really cool.
So it requires like family influencers or family vloggers to set aside money for their kids
uh-huh.
for when they turn 18.
As they
like,
should.
They have to because they're making money off of posting them. That also gives children the right to, once they turn 18, if they want any footage of themselves erased from the internet, they have the right to get rid of it.
Mm.
Even if, like, their mom posted it, like, they
once
can request.
Once they turn 18.
Yes, they have the right to get rid of it. Which, huh. obviously, nothing can completely be erased off the internet because there's screenshots and screen recordings, but at least it is helpful. Like, it's legal, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you ask them to take it down, they're going to have to take it down.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
I wonder how much that's regulated, though. Because, like, you see... Because I was just thinking about, like, mom talk, you know? And yeah. some of them don't really like their kids on their social media a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder, like, how that's regulated. Like, if you can see their face or, you know, like, then you have to pay them. Or, like, if they're in it at all, like, an arm or a leg, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that would be interesting to know.
Yeah, I wonder. That is a good question. Like, if you are blurring your children's faces, but you're still using them to make money, do you have to set aside money for them when uh-huh. they turn 18?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder. It's such new, like, legislation. I don't know.
If there's, like,
anything about it.
Super strict.
We'll see. We'll see how that changes things. But, yeah, I didn't even think about mom talk. That definitely changes things for them because they're going to have to put that money aside.
Yeah. Just a couple things that were outrageous that Ruby did that was in Sherry's book that I have here is Sherry revealed that Ruby and Kevin took, like, extracurriculars away from Chad and Sherry.
Yeah.
And they took it away from Chad because he couldn't make himself better. So, like, he was doing therapy and it just, like, wasn't working. And they just were saying, like, Chad just can't make himself better. So his punishment is to take, like, track and football away.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Like, making a kid just stay at home and doing nothing is so much worse than, mm-hmm. like, making them go out
yeah.
and, like, working towards something, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And
there's definitely a line. Like, there's plenty of kids who have to be taken out of football or their sport because their grades are so bad. But it's like, that's their chance to. But that wasn't necessarily. They crossed a line.
Yeah.
For sure. They were just like, you can't have anything. You can basically sit at home and do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until you fix yourself. But they were Chad was a little bit rebellious, mm-hmm. but it was so overkill, their punishment mm-hmm. to him and all their kids.
And then they also took track away from Sherry because mm-hmm. they said she didn't have enough empathy.
Don't you think, like, being in a team setting and, like, working towards a team goal would help you build empathy? Like, being
yeah.
a team sport?
Yeah.
Whatever.
But then, I don't think this was in the documentary, because they talked about the dad having weekly sessions with Jody and mm. Chad having weekly sessions with Jody.
Right.
But did they talk about Sherry? Because in the book, Sherry said she also had weekly sessions.
I don't remember, but that's interesting.
Yeah. So, like, and in... the book, she really kind of went into like the things that Jodi was saying and the things that she believed. And it's like they were all just brainwashed. It's wild.
Like, yeah, it's so it sad. Is so wild. Like, Jodi's ability to manipulate and convince people of things is like really impressive and terrifying and horrible.
Yeah. Do you think it was Jodi that changed Ruby, or do you think Ruby always had that in her?
I think Ruby always had that in her, because there's no way anybody could ever convince me.
Yeah.
To do anything even remotely close to that. So there's something wrong with Ruby for sure.
Yeah.
I do always wonder, like, if she hadn't have met Jodi, would things have gotten so out of hand? Maybe. But maybe not to that extent.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
I just burped into the mic.
Oh, great. I'll cut that out.
Also, one thing that I thought was so funny was the neighbors. When they would interview the neighbors, and there was that one woman that was like, she never hosted any parties, no ladies' nights or anything. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I
You don't remember? I was laughing so hard.
I don't. That is kind of random.
Because that woman was like trying to like just paint Ruby in such a bad light, right. Which like, she should be, you know, she did horrible things, but like her evidence was she never even hosted any parties, like, for the neighbors.
That's so funny. I didn't know that was a requirement.
No, it's not.
She was a terrible neighbor. She never threw parties.
Oh my gosh. Back on the topic of Jodi.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts when she was possessed?
Oh my gosh. So dumb.
That was so dramatic.
It was so hard to watch.
Yeah, it was like cringy. Like,
so cringy. And I'm like, nobody's believing that.
No.
I don't believe it.
But like, also the husband. Oh my gosh. I have things to say about the husband. He is actually the worst person in this whole thing.
Yep. Especially after this documentary came out. I mean, the internet absolutely destroys him. I'm actually more so on the fence. Like, I'm not jumping on the bandwagon of he is at fault. I definitely don't agree with a lot of his decisions, though. And okay, there are some things that he's done that I really don't understand. But I'm on the fence. So I don't want to just jump on the bandwagon.
I know. I do think, I mean, I don't want to say I'm also on the fence, but like, I do think he was heavily brainwashed by Jodi. Yeah. But also, like, if he was just like a man.
No, I know.
If he was just like the man of the house, none of this would have happened.
Exactly. That's like, my problem.
He wouldn't have let Jodi come and live there. Take his daughter's bedroom, let his wife do whatever she was doing with Jodi. Like, he wouldn't have let his own wife kick the kids out like that, kick him out like that. And the fact that he didn't talk to anybody, like, he was honoring Ruby's wishes, is wild to me. And when Sherry and Chad would text him, he wouldn't text them back. Like, what kind of father does that? If he had some balls and was the man of the house, it just wouldn't have happened.
Like, they brainwashed him so much that he believed that he was doing what was best. At least that's what he says. A lot of people just think he's using the brainwashing as an excuse for his poor behavior.
Yeah.
And I do think he was brainwashed. And then also he kind of used like his overwhelming love for Ruby as an excuse during this documentary. It's hard because like I want to believe he's a good guy and that he had good intentions. I don't think he would ever physically hurt his kids the way that Jodi and Ruby did, hopefully.
But like, but he like, is also at fault because he was like neglecting his kids, basically.
My biggest problem is the day that Ruby said, you need to leave. He did not put up a fight for his family or his kids.
No.
He just left with no contact for a year.
Yeah.
Who does that?
No.
Like, I couldn't fathom somebody telling me to leave my family.
And he didn't know what was going on. Like, there was that time where the four youngest kids were all home alone and the neighbors were like wondering what was going on. And then once the two youngest kids were in St. George, he had no idea what was going on. And when like the policemen were interviewing him and stuff, that made me so mad. Like, how do you not know what's going on with your own children?
He really had no contact whatsoever for that whole year. So because of that, he really is innocent to what was happening. But my problem is he shouldn't have ever left in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to think that if he knew what was going on, he would have come in to save the kids. But it's still messed up that he left.
Uh-huh. I mean, I know there's like a lot of couples that like get rocky, like their relationships get rocky, you know, and like the dad will go leave for a little bit. But the fact that he didn't contact his children ever, especially when they contacted him, you know, like they would try calling him and
it's so sad.
Like that's terrible parenting.
Yeah. And poor Jody, like, literally convinced him that he was the villain of the family, that he was destroying his own family. And I'm like, meanwhile, Ruby and Jody are just like literally abusing children.
Yeah.
Like, how did they really believe that they were doing something good?
Mm-hmm.
They're crazy.
But the whole, okay, what was your initial thought when you saw the St. George house, like the basement and how it was like all cemented?
It's literally a compound.
Yeah.
That she built / bought for the sole purpose of like containing hiding people and hiding and locking up people and kids. Like, ew, it's so scary.
And the little like potion or whatever it was that they made to put on their wounds, it was like cayenne. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was like a paste, like a homemade paste to put on their wounds.
Yeah, that was so weird to me.
I was like, what? Yeah, what is that?
Just the weirdest crap was happening and going on. And those poor children, like, they're going to be ruined forever.
Also, the whole, I don't know the code to that safe. I don't know. What was the password? 1234. The cop goes down there and puts in 1234 and it opens. He's like, sweet, I got it open. Yeah, real.
Real creative.
Good job, Jody. Glad she's stupid enough to use 1234.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank goodness. Because then we would have never, you know, they would have never gotten in there that day.
Yeah.
If she hadn't have been so stupid.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then the fact that Chad, the oldest son, found out from the news and not the dad.
I forgot about that. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine, like, and he didn't believe it, which I think is totally valid response to seeing that on the news. Is that can't be true. Like, there's no way that's true. My mom's getting arrested. Like, my mom's going to jail. That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot to process.
But it's, like, after all of that was said and done, and, like, Jody and Ruby were going to jail, like, don't you think at that point the dad should have been like, hey, I want you to hear this from me and not anybody else. Like, this is what's going on. But no!
Well, I'm a little bit fuzzy on the timeline. No, I agree 100%. Who found out first? Chad or Kevin?
I think Kevin was called. Because the police contacted him. Like, do you know what's going on with your children? Basically. And, like, they thought that he was a suspect.
Right. Goodness gracious. Yeah, he probably should have called his kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they might have been blocked on each other's phones or something. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Like, I think Kevin might have blocked, like, everybody so that because he was convinced that the no contact thing was best for the family. I don't know.
In what world?
Yeah, literally.
Oh, my gosh.
I just, like, think, okay, sorry, now I'm just going off on tangents.
No, just go.
I just, like, imagine if Dallin, my husband, like, there's no way, there is literally no world where he would do that.
No.
Like, he would fight tooth and nail before leaving.
Yeah.
His kids.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, I just laugh because he would be kicking and screaming literally.
Uh-huh.
Not figuratively, probably literally.
Yeah.
Like, he would put up such a fight, and I'm just,
And it's Kevin was just so compliant. Like, yeah, whatever for you, Ruby. I love you.
Like, it makes me so mad.
Like, I would hope Abe would fight, you know? And be like, no, you're crazy. Stop. Stop saying this. I'm not leaving.
Yeah. You know what? You can love someone and be able to admit that they are crazy.
Yeah.
That they need help. Come on, Kevin. Yeah. Come on.
But could you imagine your own mother doing this stuff to you?
Yeah.
Like, especially what she did to the two youngest children.
Oh, my.
Like, could you imagine that? Like, getting kidnapped by your own mother and basically being tortured by your own mother.
It's been very interesting to see. Basically, only the oldest two, Sherry and Chad, I think are adults.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the kids, their identities are very hidden. I don't know their names. You can find out pretty easily if you were to look it up. Utah's a very small community, but luckily, like, that's good. But my point is, Chad and Sherry are the only two children that really are in the public eye that have written books or on social media, and their methods of coping are, like, very different. It's just been very interesting to see, like, how they have navigated the life situation after everything went down. Like, they're very different people.
Yeah.
Chad definitely uses humor to cope, and it is cracking me up.
Same.
His TikTok is unhinged.
And Sherry is, like, very professional.
Yeah, she's very serious.
Uh-huh.
She's like, let me write this book. But if you think about it, they're both still monetizing off of their trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Just in very different ways.
Mm-hmm. But there's just, like, some things in the book that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
It was actually, like, really well written. Like, she's very intelligent.
I've heard
intelligent.
That. I need to listen to it.
You should. Because it is interesting hearing from, like, the beginning to the end, her point of view for everything. And one thing that I did like is she kept the youngest children's names out of it. Like, they weren't even in the story, because she's, like, she's all about, what's her platform? I'm, like, blanking. Vlogging, like, not having kids.
Right.
In your vlogs, or, like, paying them or whatever. Right.
Well, she's probably, I mean, that checks out, because sounds like she's against making money off of minors.
Yes.
So she's not going to include her younger sibling's name in her book, which she's making money off of.
Yeah, because those are their wishes. Right. And so she's honoring that, and I liked that. This was one thing that was so sad in the book. Multiple times she mentions that she just wanted to be Ruby's friend.
That is so sad.
And, like, there was one point where they were, like, talking about having children. And then in Sherry's head, she was like, oh, like, I'll be able to, like, be my mom's friend once I have kids. Like, that'll be the point, because we can relate. Like, we'll both be mothers. And I thought that was, like, the saddest thing.
Right.
Like, that you feel like your own mother isn't your friend.
Yeah.
You know?
And she'll probably never be.
No.
She'll never be friends with her at this point.
Well, obviously. And now she doesn't want to be.
Right.
Okay, this was one thing. It was a quote in the book that I thought was just wild. It's something that Jody said. So, a baby cries because it's entitled and believes that the world revolves around them and their needs. So, she believes that you have to basically train a baby to not think that way.
Yeah. This is, in my opinion, such a projection from Ruby, because she is the most entitled.
Yeah.
And so it's just crazy how she's just turns everything around.
But she just basically, Jody explains that you have to, like, try and break that cycle of manipulation, and that's why babies cry, because they just think the world revolves around them. And but then, like, Sherry kind of goes on to think about, like, well, don't babies cry because they need something? Like they're hungry or tired?
Yep.
You know, it's like, yep, exactly.
And it's crazy how Sherry grew up in this, you know, household, and she really is pretty well-rounded. In the video, there's a few clips I've seen pop up on the internet of some of the vlogs, and Sherry is standing up for her siblings. Like, her Ruby punishes a 6-year-old?
Yeah.
For not waking up on time?
Yes.
Without, I'm like, okay, do you know what an alarm is?
Yes.
She's like, no, you don't get to go to school because you didn't wake up.
I think that...
And Sherry goes, she can't control when she wakes up.
I think she was She's even like younger five. Than six. I think she was like
yeah.
going she was to preschool. Little.
Okay, that's right, preschool. Which is like 4 years old.
Yeah. Like a 4-year old can't okay, wake themselves no, up.
You can't just, you don't have a self timer.
Yeah.
Like you set an alarm or your mom wakes you up. Uh-huh. Like that's crazy that she was like, well, too bad you didn't wake up.
Well, and that's what's like so wild to me too about all of Ruby's logic is like when you become a parent, there are certain things you have to do, and that's something that you have to do. You have to wake up your children. You have to feed your children.
Yeah.
You have to give them a bed.
Yeah. She's acting like this. These, like, 4-year-olds are capable of doing everything for themselves.
Well, and she acts like basic human needs are a privilege.
Yeah, or they're their selfish wants.
Uh-huh.
Like, wanting to eat. Like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Is there anything else that you want to talk about with
that? I was just going to share just the connections that we have to the case.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Mando's back.
The little feetsies.
It's just that Utah is such a small world again. And so I talked about this a little bit before, but I have a sister-in-law who literally took sessions from Jody way back
when. That is so crazy. And
this is kind of before Jody got extreme. We've asked her a lot of questions about it. Obviously, we're, like, fascinated.
Does she feel like it worked? Like, did Jody help her?
She felt like she actually had a lot of good, like, well-rounded life advice on how to navigate life and relationships. Like, uh-huh. She did a lot of marriage counseling. And she had, like, her and her husband had a few one-on-ones with Jody.
Yeah.
And she never thought really anything of it. I feel like she might have said something about... It did seem like Jody was a man hater. Mm. And a lot of other people have said that Jody has ruined their marriage because basically have made a bunch of women hate their husbands.
Yeah. Well, you can totally But
this
tell
was a long time ago. Yeah. Yeah. This was a long time ago. So she didn't really have any, like, anyways, I think Jody wasn't very extreme at this point.
Yeah.
But it's just like kind of eerie to think about that she was one-on-one. Like with Jody. And then I have another sister-in-law whose family lives in the same neighborhood as Ruby. So they like know all the neighbors that were in the documentary. They were like asked probably to be a part of it and they said no or something. Or they would always have like they had a few reporters knocking on their door because they go around the neighborhood asking people.
Uh-huh.
And they had cameras out there when they were filming the documentary. But they hadn't lived there for very long. They had moved there from out of state. So they weren't as involved with the whole neighborhood as the rest of the people there were. So they were a little bit newer to the neighborhood. So, but it's just weird. Like, my sister-in-law has memories of even going to her parents' like church ward and seeing Jody and Ruby. Weird. And like even having interactions.
Like a church?
Yes. And even having interactions with them, or like her little girls like crawling around, and she mm-hmm. said Jody just kind of like looked at her and like wasn't like hi, like most people are like, oh hi, like to a baby uh-huh. who's like crawling up to them and like climbing on their chair, and she was like
scared. She's just a child hater too.
Yeah. Anyways, just weird connections, that's all I was gonna say.
Weird.
So
ew, I don't like Jody.
She would say, because my sister-in-law has a lot of younger siblings, and she said that they had been over to Ruby's house, or the neighborhood kids would always say that she was weird, that Ruby was weird.
Hmm.
When they would go over to her house, they were like, she's weird. But that's all things I've just heard through the grapevine, and that's everything that I was going to say.
Interesting. I don't have any connections, and I'm kind of glad
yeah.
that I don't have any
Yeah, thank goodness.
Okay. She's psycho.
We need to move on to our other case, which is Potato.
Gabby Potato. Oh, what a sweet little girl.
I was so obsessed with following this case when it was happening. This was a very interesting case because, like, it was so much in the public eye.
Yeah.
And everyone knew it was Brian immediately.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of conspiracies about it. We can get into that later. Let's give maybe an overview of what happened.
Real quick, though, with that, it's so interesting, like, nowadays with stuff like this, how it just will blow up. Mm-hmm. Like, it won't just be on the news. It'll be all over social media.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, people actually helped with the case.
This case was so fascinating to watch because TikTok literally helped solve the case.
Yeah.
Like, people banded together. They pulled up their security footage. They pulled up their, like, car footage, and we found pieces, and the internet helped put it together. Like, it was crazy fascinating to watch everything unfold. So I'd highly recommend watching this documentary.
Give a brief explanation.
Okay. So Gabby Petito and her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. Gabby was a vlogger / influencer. Like, they were traveling around in their van.
Yeah.
Which was a dream of hers. And she was kind of vlogging it. And she went missing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when, I mean, pretty much immediately, as soon as she was reported missing, and Gabby's parents put it out there and blasted it, and it blew up on social media, because immediately after she's missing, Brian drove the van back to his parents' house.
Yeah.
And when the police went over there to just ask, and at this point, they weren't even thinking necessarily she got murdered. It wasn't that serious at this point, but immediately Brian's parents were like,
"We have an attorney.
We're not talking to you."
Yeah.
"We have an attorney. Brian's here, but he won't talk to you." And immediately everyone's like, "Something is not right."
Yeah.
And of course, internet, everyone's like, "Brian did it. Brian, you know how the internet loves to jump on things?"
Yeah.
Well, this time they were right. Spoiler alert, because Brian did end up, you know, murdering Gabby.
Yeah.
The internet is freaking out because they're like, this guy obviously killed his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And people are looking at all her videos and her Instagram posts and trying to, like, decipher what happened. And then TikTok started blowing up with people saying, "Oh my gosh, I gave this guy a ride." And then people started posting footage of the last time they were seen, which was in Utah.
Yeah.
Southern Utah.
Well, no, wasn't it in Jackson?
In Jackson
Hole?
I think so. I think the last
but time a lot they of it were seen did happen in Utah.
Was in Jackson, but right before they got to Jackson, they were in southern Utah.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff that happened there, including police involvement with, like, an altercation between the two. And there's all this body cam footage. And I think the body cam footage might have been released before they even solved the case totally.
Oh.
And this is when, like, things started to get really weird and people started to get upset because they're like, the signs were right there.
Yeah.
That they were in this abusive relationship.
And are you talking about, like, when they got pulled over and they, like, took Gabby out of the car and she was kind of freaking out? And
yes.
Then they separated
Somebody had called the cops because they had seen, like, him slapping her or her slapping him.
Yeah.
Like, on the side of the road or something. And so they called in, like, for potential domestic abuse. And the cops came over. And this is a very controversial thing because some people are really angry that the cops didn't, you know, do more or arrest him for domestic abuse. But I watched the whole video. And they really were trying to do the best they could. Gabby was so insistent over and over again that she was the instigator.
Yeah.
She was hurting him, that she was slapping him. And he basically agreed with that. Like, of course, he wasn't going to out himself.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Gabby.
Like, I know.
He was abusive, whether it be so physically, emotionally. And she was just so, she didn't want to get him in trouble because she just cared about him so much.
One thing that's
And so she was like, "It was my fault, it was my fault." So they didn't arrest, they just separated them for the night. And anyways.
But one thing that's like crazy about that part, I don't remember exactly what the cop said, but he said something along the lines of like, in cases like we need to make sure we're doing the right thing, because in cases like this, like where the man is abusive, like the woman ends up dying a few days later.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. That body cam footage was definitely really eerie, because he did say something like, we want to make sure, yeah, exactly what Shelby said. Want to make sure we're making the right decision, because we don't want her to end up dead.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine how that cop feels now, looking back?
Terrible.
I mean, they really did the best that they could with the information that they had. They were very, like, sweet, and they, like, got him a hotel and were like, you guys just need to take a break and just go take a shower, decompress.
But I'm also confused why they gave her the van and got him a hotel.
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird, too. Like, let's not leave a young woman by herself in a van, because that's not safe.
And they were, like, telling her to go to, like, get a $2-3 shower. And that was one thing that bugged me, too, about that cop is, I think it was a different cop, I don't remember, where he was like, yeah, you're a lot like my wife, and whenever she's like this, like, all she needs is a hot shower, and then she's good. And I'm like, can you just not right now?
Yeah, listen, that whole thing about him saying, like, oh, yeah, my wife, this. He was trying his best to empathize and to level with her and to help her the best that he knew how.
Yeah.
But the way it came out was a little weird. Like,
you're a lot like my wife.
I understand where he's coming from. And, like, his intentions, I believe, were really just to comfort her and help her.
It was weird. It just did not come out right. No, and I'm like, can you please stop saying that? Like, she's not your wife.
Yeah, it was weird.
Do we want to go through notes, or is there anything else for the...
I mean, that's pretty much... I already gave away the ending, so they did end up finding her remains, which the cause of death, I think, was strangulation. Brian went missing from his parents' house.
That was crazy.
They ended up finding his remains later, so he ended up killing himself.
When they said in the documentary that Brian is also missing, I was like, what is happening?
Oh my gosh, I remember because I
did not follow this case at all. And so watching the documentary, this was like the first time seeing all of it, and I was like, what is going on? Like, Gabby goes missing, and then all of a sudden Brian goes missing. Crazy. Like, what is actually happening? And also, they were like he was trying to create like an alibi, and like after he had murdered her, they went on a family trip and didn't even talk about Gabby. Like, the sister, when the cops talked to the sister,
oh my gosh,
that honestly seemed genuine from her. Like, but then she like said something like, oh yeah, it never came up, like Gabby. And it's like, your brother's missing girlfriend never came up. Like, he wasn't sad.
The whole family is so sus.
Yeah.
Which, you know, because Brian is not alive anymore, and we're never going to get any answers as to what exactly happened in the moment that she died. Really sad. Really sad for her family to not have those answers. But when are Brian's parents going to go on trial, is my question.
Well, I don't think they ever will.
They should, because I swear on my life they assisted in covering up a murder, and that is against the law.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
Come on now. Come on. Come on now.
Come on now.
Come on. Level with me. Like, we all know that his parents had a part in this.
Yeah. Totally.
They are so sus.
They are.
I want so bad to have them launch an investigation into his parents. And for them to go on trial. Like, I want that more than anything.
Speaking of his parents, the note from his mom.
Oh, that blew my mind.
It said something like,
when I was watching the documentary.
If you need to bury a body, I will show up with a shovel. Like, who writes that down? Who writes that down and then says burn after reading? And then he didn't burn it?
Yeah.
Like, I was shocked.
That's crazy. I don't know. That's such a wild thing. A lot of people say they would kill for their kids. I would kill for my kid.
Yeah.
But this is different. Mm-hmm. I would never say, oh, I'll help you bury... What? I'm sorry? Who says that even in, like, a joking way?
I mean...
I don't know.
I mean, that is, like, something that I feel like people will say in a joking way. But they say it... They don't literally mean it and write it down.
But then she said burn the note, which, like, further puts guilt on her. Like, she knew that it wasn't something that people should be reading.
Yeah.
Besides him. So that just, like... intensified her guiltiness. Like,
they're so sus. Ooh, those parents are weird. Don't like they them. Were just so weird.
Well, and the fact that they immediately, like, Gabby's parents are reaching out, hey, I'm so... Well, at first they were actually worried, I think, about both Gabby and Brian.
Uh-huh.
Because they weren't hearing from either of them. So they reached out, like, good parents. Mm-hmm. Gabby's parents reached out to Brian's parents, were like, hey, have you guys heard from them? We're starting to get worried. We haven't been able to reach Gabby in this many days. Immediately, Brian's parents just blocked them. Who does that?
Yeah.
Who? I'm sorry, but that's crazy behavior.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I thought they never found her body. But then watching the documentary, I was like, oh, they did find her body.
Mm-hmm.
And poor thing. Like, the whole staged setup. Oh my gosh, like how she was curled up. But also, is Brian like dumb? Like, did he not think that they would notice there were strangulation marks on her neck?
Yeah.
And his whole story in his suicide note,
mm-hmm,
of like how it all happened was complete BS.
Yeah, the way that he said something about like helping her,
like she was
like relieving her of her pain
or whatever.
And like, I think you were the pain.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she needed to be relieved, like, of you. Like, she was in pain emotionally because of how terrible the relationship was.
And he was basically saying, like, she asked for this. This is what she wanted. And I just had to finish the job, you know? But, like, he literally strangled her to death.
Stupid. Stupid man.
Oh my gosh.
Stupid murderer man.
But then, so after, we're kind of popping all over the place here, but after he had, like, killed her, it got a little bit confusing to me. He was, like, trying to create an alibi, you know? He was, like, hiking up somewhere, and then...
This is where people had stories of picking him up and dropping him
off,
right?
Which was so interesting, yeah. And he was like, taking pictures of dead animals, like bones and stuff, and but like also like scenery and flowers, but also that was like kind of weird. And he also he had Gabby's phone too and was like texting people.
Yeah, texting people and also Venmoing himself or
oh, sending yes!
I died when he sent himself money.
He sent himself like $700. What did I have?
I'm like, Brian, obviously, he's never killed someone before because...
He did a Zelle transaction from Gabby, and it said, goodbye, I'll never ask you for anything again.
He was trying to make it seem like they broke up.
Yeah.
And that she was just giving him money, and like he was like, this is it, this is the end of the road. But, dude, come on.
Who gives you $700 for a breakup?
You stole money from your dead girlfriend that you just...
Like, that's offed. Terrible. Could you imagine the guilt... obviously he had a lot of guilt because of the way that everything played out.
But like, come on, dude. Just a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah. In the end, it was actually so sad how his road ended. He decided to take his own life, and probably because he was feeling that guilt and he knew it was wrong. And that's just so sad. Like, it's so sad that it all had to play out like that. And I wonder how it actually played out. Like, if mm-hmm. it obviously probably was in a moment of anger for him. Like, they had been bickering mm-hmm. this whole time. And it just got to a point where he probably just got so angry, he just strangled her. But, like, what normal man, like, can't stop themselves?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's a murderer. That's what he is. Or, like, lets
themselves get to that point of, like, strangling their girlfriend.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so his, body was found in Florida, right? This is where he's from. So his parents live in Florida. He was able to sneak out of his parents' house, even with all of the reporters guarding the house.
And he was, like, living in the woods.
And he, like, went into the woods, and it was really, really rainy. Once Brian was missing, they sent out search parties. But it had rained a bunch, so it kind of flooded, like, the woodland, foresty, swampy area.
Uh-huh.
And so it was really, really hard to find him. Here's the weird thing. They were searching for him for, like, what was it, 10 days, something like that. Basically a long time.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Brian's parents joined the search party, they found his remains in, like, an hour.
Yeah.
You're telling me that these trained professionals, an entire team of trained professionals, couldn't find him in 10 days, and his dad finds him in an hour?
Yeah.
And then his jawbone is identified by his uncle. So, the purpose of me saying this...
That was another thing that was weird, is they only found his bones.
Well, right. So, some people think,
like, is he that alive, he's still alive.
There's a conspiracy that those remains were just passed off as Brian's to cover up his death, that the suicide note was all staged, and that he's alive out there somewhere.
I believe it.
I love conspiracy. I mean, we love a conspiracy. Do I believe it? I don't know if I believe that, but yeah, it's just crazy. So the internet is conspiring that he's alive and that yeah. those remains were not his, but someone else's, and that his family or law enforcement is helping to cover up this whole death.
That would be so weird. And honestly, I could see that totally happening.
Here's a couple explanations, though, that could debunk the conspiracy. The first one is that the reason his body decomposed so quickly is because of the moisture, the swampy, the rain that they got. It just, like, washed everything away.
Yeah.
And only his bones remained. And then the reason why his parents were able to find him so fast was because they came on the day where things had, the water had started draining. So it was easier to find the remains once some of the water had been cleared away.
Oh, yeah.
These are just possible explanations.
But still.
But it just, like, is very sus.
Having skin and muscle decompose like that quickly, know. That just does not seem right.
I know.
Like, that's just so weird.
So, let us know what you guys think.
Yeah.
Do you think Brian Laundrie is alive? Do you believe the conspiracies that he's alive, or is he a goner?
Yeah. These were interesting, and it's interesting how, like, close to home they are, because, like, all the Ruby Frankie stuff was in Utah, mm-hmm. and a lot of the Gabby Petito yes. stuff was in Utah.
Yeah, super weird.
But, yeah, and it's just crazy, like, the world that we live in with vlogging and how much people can find.
Yeah. I would highly, highly recommend watching this Netflix series about Gabby Petito. It's only like 3 episodes, so yeah. it's very short, but it's very, very fascinating. We barely touched on, like, the whole TikTok videos
uh-huh.
and the people banding together. I think that part of this story is so interesting.
Uh-huh.
So you should definitely watch it on Netflix.
Yeah. I probably liked that documentary better than the Ruby Frankie one. I actually kind of thought the Ruby Frankie documentary was very vague, and they didn't
I'm telling you, a lot of details. Weird. I think some of the details from Ruby Frankie's stuff was purposely left out, like, where are the kids now? Who has custody of them? Does Kevin have custody of his kids? Does he not have custody of his
yeah.
kids? That stuff is very unclear, and I think they did that on purpose to protect the kids.
Yeah, probably.
But Hulu doesn't never... just never does as good of a job.
Yeah,
totally. As Netflix or other sources, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
They did release Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, so what do you expect? The most inaccurate representation of Mormon culture ever.
Was it entertaining, though? Yes.
Absolutely. No, I swear that's all Hulu cares about.
Yeah.
Is and it if works. It's entertaining.
People yeah. still watch it.
Yeah. Defund Hulu. Should we start a campaign?
No.
Get rid of Hulu. Okay, just kidding. Anyways, that's all. Is there anything else you want to say?
Follow us yep. on Instagram and TikTok, eb.pod.
Thanks for listening to this super fun and uplifting podcast about murder and child abuse.
Yeah, tune in next week. Instead of releasing every other week, we're going to give an extra episode.
Bonus episode.
Yeah.
Bonus episode.
Giving some fun updates.
Bonus episode.
Yay. Give us a like and subscribe.
All right.
Rating and review. Give us a rating and review. And tell your friends and family we love you. Okay.
Love you guys. Okay, bye.
Bye.